Well, to meet my guest on today's programme, I've travelled to the lovely village of Long Ashton on the outskirts of Bristol, and I'm outside an off-licence which sells wine, spirits and beers, as you'd expect, called the Little Tipple. And it's been run for some years by my guest today, Norman Gover. Hello, Norman.
Hello, Steve.
Now, before we go inside, and we will do, because it's like the M1 along here, Just tell me a little bit about the extraordinary facade here, because there's a lovely bit of carving above the shop, isn't there?
That's right. Yeah, well, we went to a party about 25 years ago in Bristol. We had a friend who was an architect, and he had a very nice kitchen in there, and we thought, this is an interesting design, and we met the designer, and he came from St. Werburgh's, Graham Kane, and he works in plywood, and he came out and said he'd make the shelves for the shop, and then off he went and made a sign as well.
Well, the sign is lovely. It's sort of Gaudi-esque, isn't it?
He's very much inspired by Gaudi, and in fact, he has gone to live in Spain now himself. So, but there are little bits of work like this. There's the city farm up in Boiling Wells Lane, and of course his giant house, which you can sometimes see if you take the train from Bristol to Birmingham.
Well, I think it's utterly unique and it's beguiling. Every time I've driven along this road, I think, I must pop in, and I'm going to pop in. So should we go inside?
Yes, yeah, of course, yes.
Oh, this is your mother, is it? Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
Hello.
He's roped you in working here, has he?
Of course, yes. For a few years, anyway.
Well, we're inside the shop now, and you mentioned the wooden carving, because it continues in here, doesn't it?
It does, yes. We're a bit old-fashioned with the layout of the shop, and that we still do have a counter. But as you can feel, as you walk in, the floor slopes, the wall slope. It is a very old building, and it was always a bit of a compromise to use standard shop fittings. So Graham, who did the plywood sign, likes to work in plywood. It's an inexpensive material, and can adapt it to fit around the idiosyncrasies of the shop.
Well, it's a lovely warm feeling in here. You're in a real sort of cavern, like a little grotto, aren't you?
Yes, it is. People do say it's a bit like a TARDIS inside.
What about the building itself? Because it feels quite old. What's the history of it, do you know?
It's difficult to establish when they were built, because a lot of cottages like this belong to the Smythe estate, and really the deeds weren't established until about 100 years ago, 120 years ago.
But it's an old building, isn't it?
It is a very old building. Up in the roof, I live in the flat above the shop, and when we started to do work up there, some of the roof beams do actually have bark on them. So it is quite a humble cottage.
Tell me a bit about your background then. When did your interest in wine and spirits and beers begin?
Well, my parents bought the shop back in the mid-70s, and then we actually took over the business of running the off-licence in the 80s. And the wine side of it is something I've always been interested in. I got an interest in it then because I got introduced to the West of England Wine and Spirit Association then, and they ran educational trips to wine producing regions. First one I went on was to Bordeaux, and then I came back and I learned that they ran education courses and went on some of those, and I did quite well and won some travel bursaries to go on trips in following years. And the wine trade is extremely convivial. It's a very nice trade to be in.
And indeed, you've travelled all over the place to many of the main wine-producing areas, haven't you?
Yes, I've been to Australia. I've been to Australia a couple of times. I've been to New Zealand, been to South America, Uruguay, Chile, Brazil, Argentina, South Africa, and, of course, Europe as well, France, now, Italy, Spain.
Now, you mentioned that your parents took over the shop, and, in fact, your mum Yvonne's here at the moment. Hello there.
Hello.
What was it like when you first moved in here, when you first took over the shop? What was it like then?
It was terrible. It wasn't terrible, but it didn't have a lot of character. And Norman, I must say, has done it beautifully and, you know, got the beers, all the local beers and things that people love nowadays, don't they? And unusual gins. Norman knows about those things. I just stand here and sell it.
Have you been much of a drinker over the years?
Yes.
Yes. What do you like? What's your tipple?
Oh, I like something that sweetens me at the end of the day, perhaps a port or a nice sweet sherry or something like that.
Have you enjoyed the sort of convivial side of the business?
Very much so, yes, very much.
Do you get people in here and they know they want a drink, but they don't know what they want?
No, and we help them, because it's medicine, isn't it?
Has your knowledge grown over the years?
Oh, I'm a bit of a dope, I think. I do know a bit about it, and I know what's good, and I know what Norman tells me, and but I don't want to go and learn at the West of England or anything.
No, well, he's a full-grown man now, but Did you worry about him when he was going off to places like Uruguay?
Did I worry? Especially when he went to one place where they took him in a plane. What was the plane?
That was Uruguay. We were in the President's plane.
In the President's plane?
We flew in the President's plane to visit a vineyard.
Gosh, so you were concerned about his safety?
Well, it didn't have anything in it, this plane. Only an engine and a pilot.
We were expecting it to be a Learjet, the party we were in, and it turned out to be a Hercules transport plane.
Out of all the places you did visit when you were travelling abroad looking at the wine trade, what was the prettiest, the most attractive place you visited?
The most attractive probably is Burgundy, Côte d'Or in Burgundy. It's how people expect vineyards to be, pretty little slopes, pretty little villages, small producers, still foot treading the grapes. Australia is lovely and it is a big business, but the quaint side of it, I do like Burgundy if I had to choose one place to go back to.
You've never been on any of these junkets, these fancy trips abroad?
I never leave the spot. I've been here for how many years? 40 years, stood that in that same spot.
Is he exploiting you?
Yes, I think so. Don't
Gosh,
you?
That's
he
awful.
Looks like that. No, I don't want to go anywhere. I like it here.
Have you been to lots of tastings where you've had a sip after a sip after a sip and you spit them out, but it still takes a hold on you?
You get what's called palate fatigue. After about, I don't know, 50 or 60 wines, you think, can I taste anything different in this? But no, you do have to spit it out.
So if I go to the pub and have a few drinks and I come home and I'm a bit tottering, I can just say to my wife, I've got palate fatigue.
Yes, you get palate fatigue, yes, yes.
You ever had any of that yourself, Yvonne?
I've heard of it. Yeah. You wouldn't like to try one, would you? One from Romania.
Oh, I'll try it in a moment.
Would you? Good, yeah. Because that's our nephew makes that in Romania, so we're into that at the moment.
He's not a vampire, though, is he?
He is.
Oh, well,
sort of.
Yeah. Well, some of these red wines is like sucking blood, isn't it? Now, it's not just wine that you stock here. You've got a whole range of things, haven't you?
Well, we've tried to keep it as a traditional off-licence, so we don't do videos, newspapers or bread or anything. But we have got, I suppose, really the on-trend thing at the moment are the local breweries in Bristol.
Indeed, really. There's been a real blossoming in microbreweries, hasn't there?
I do believe there's an area of Bristol called the Bermuda Triangle now.
With all the booze he's had over the years, have you ever seen him drunk, Yvonne?
Never.
Gosh.
He wouldn't dare.
Yeah. I wonder whether it was your eyesight, you just hadn't spotted it.
No, I've just had them done, so I have spotted it.
She keeps you on quite a tight rein, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. No, well, she's a designated premises supervisor. She's a licensee. Mum and I are equal licensees, so we have to be quite strict with some of the customers sometimes.
Have you ever had youngsters in here who clearly aren't old enough who've tried to blag a drink?
Well, they're grandfathers now, and they come in and remind me, you borrowed me from this shop, and they're grandfathers now.
But you still get children in occasionally who want a drink.
We've got some lovely people in the village, and they wouldn't dare ask me anyway. I'm a bit of a dragon.
Did you sell much cider in your early days here?
Quite a lot, yes, quite a lot. I think it probably was a cider and a porter store. That's what they called it in those days, porter, and draft sherry when we took it over. But we've blossomed out since then.
Of course, the wine industry has changed enormously over the last few years. I mean, the growth, the blossoming of the Australian wines, the New World wines, which have flooded the market.
Yes, well, I think wines from Europe are generally labelled by geographical origin, where the New World came in and labelled them by grape variety, which made it a lot easier for people to recognise things. So we don't really win any brownie points for selling Malbec and things like that, because they're just Malbec and Sauvignon Blanc people love. Other areas, Crows Hermitage, perhaps they're not quite so familiar with some of the French names and Bernin Vergelès, etc.
But the knowledge of wine, generally speaking, in this country has grown, hasn't it, amongst your average people from what it was maybe 30 or 40 years ago?
I think so. I think people recognise when wine's off now. They recognise when it's an oaked white wine. They recognise dry and sweet wines. So I think they... I did a tasting just before Christmas and I put some different wines in to illustrate these things, and I was impressed with what people could recognise from their wines.
Well, let's have a word about the West of England Wine and Spirits Association. You're a former secretary of the association. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, during the 60s, the Labour government wanted to set up training boards. So Bristol has always had an association with the wine trade, firms like Harvey's and Moran's and Avery's. And the principals of those companies used to have a luncheon club and meet once or twice a year. But the Labour government said, no, you've got to set up a training board, so they legitimise their lunches.
Now, your mum mentioned a relative of yours who produces wine in Romania. Tell me a bit more about him.
Oh, Philip, that's a lovely story, really, because he comes from Backwell, and when he was about 18, he used to come in and work in the shop, and then he went off to university. He'd gone to the Down School and Bristol Grammar School, and then following the revolution in 1989, he went out to Romania. Well, most people were helping as charity workers in orphanages. Philip wanted to start a business. So now he's the largest exporter of wine from Romania. It's just quite extraordinary. I went out there at the end of last year and the scale of the operation is just huge. He was employing 800 people at one stage. And I said, Phil, how much wine have you got here now, Phil? And he had 35 million euros worth of wine.
Wow, what a success story.
Well, when you think the average Romanian earns about 100 euros a week, it is just phenomenal. We've been trying to champion Romanian wine over the last few months, so people driving by the shop will see the old blackboard outside. So he's done really, really well.
Do you know, I don't think I've ever drunk Romanian wine. It's not the first thing you think of, is it?
No, it's unfortunate the reputation the country does have. If you pop into a wine shop, it's very rare that they would have a Romanian section. You'll see France, Australia, New Zealand, and under other countries, you will find Romania.
Well, it'd be lovely to finish up with a bit of a tasting of some of that Romanian wine produced by your cousin. Have you got a drop of it around?
Well, of course, yes. We've got some nice varietals. We've got some Pinot Noir and Pinot Grigio. And he also does some premium wines going up to a more expensive range.
So what have we got here then, Norman?
Well, this is a Romanian Pinot Noir.
Oh, just a little bit then, see what it's like. All the way from Romania?
All the way from Romania, bottled in Romania. Nice and clean. Good clean
bouquet. That's lovely. You recommend this, do you, Yvonne?
I do indeed. I'm very proud that it's my nephew that's making it. You know, I think that's Bristol from Backwell, you see. He's brilliant and he's making a good job of his wine.
Real pleasure to meet you today.
And you, I always love listening to you. Norman doesn't, but I do. I love you.
Oh, thanks a bunch, Norman.
I'm a bit of a Radio 4 man. So.
Well, lovely to meet you today.
Lovely. Thanks then, Steve. Yeah. Thanks very much for coming in.
There you go. That is Norman Gover together with his mum, Yvonne, who run the Little Tipple, which is at Long Ashton. And he was mentioning the West of England Wine and Spirits Association, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. I think they're having lunch at Bristol Harbour Hotel this month to celebrate 50 years. And it's a super little shop. And if ever you're passing Long Ashton, look out for the facade, which is this beautiful carved wood.